This is the Self-Taught or Not podcast with
Dylan Israel
and Eric Hanchett, where we teach you the do's and don'ts of software development from two software development professionals, one self-taught and one not. Hey, everybody, to a very, very, very special edition of Self-Taught or Not with the co-host with the mostest. Dylan, how's it going, buddy?
Yeah. Hey, I always like when you say co-host with Moses. Is that your thing, or did you get that from somewhere?
I don't know if I can take credit for it, but it does fit very well. So I was going to say today, this is a very special episode because we are coming to a very a milestone episode in our Self-Taught or Not. And I thought that would be fun to just talk about this live. Me and Dylan talked a little bit about this beforehand, but we are thinking about taking a very long, maybe permanent extended break. I think it's for a few reasons. You know, there's no drama or anything behind the scenes here. You know, me and Dylan are good friends.
Why are you lying about our beef, Eric? tell them about the beef. You want that smoke, as the kids say.
No. The only thing is, Dylan is super busy. We actually, to give a little context, by the way, all our opinions on this podcast are our own. We're not representing anybody else, but we actually both recently got jobs at Amazon, which is crazy, which is, I don't know for you, Dylan, but it's been a kind of a dream of mine to like work at a big software company, like sort of, they call it FANG, which is like Facebook and Google and Amazon and Apple. So it's been really like awesome to join that environment. I mean, we both studied really, really hard and got these jobs pretty much at the same time. Actually, Dylan got it November of last year. I got it in just literally a few weeks ago. And so now our schedules have been super compressed, a lot more busy. And we're just trying to figure out like what we want to do with the podcast. Is it worth going on? Is it worth continuing? You know, me, myself, I really enjoy these conversations. I enjoy talking to you guys every week. I know Dylan enjoys it too, but he's super a little bit more busy. I mean, what do you think, Dylan?
Yeah. I think in the spirit of 2021 that we should do an occasional episode, but for only those who want to subscribe to our OnlyFans page. So we'll put our podcast there for our super fans. I mean, life happens. Eric and I are not going to not see each other because we work at the same company, although it's like second biggest company in the world. We're on Slack together. So it's basically, we're, you know, tied at the hip. But yeah, man, life is good. Priorities change and shift. And if you're asking me my honest opinion, I don't think this is the last episode of the podcast. I just think that I have commitment issues and it's hard for me to commit to projects again and again. And so as my buddy says, like every girl he dates, they always go back to their ex-boyfriend. And so like there's, you know, we'll see how that plays out. But I think there'll be more to come, just not for a while.
Yeah, I understand. It's definitely hard with, you know, each one of our schedules. If you don't know, like we get together pretty much on the weekends, during our free time, our very valuable free time. I got a wife and kids and Dylan has dogs. So very puppy.
God, such a drop off. I have a family, wife and kids, and then Dylan has pets.
I said that. But no, he has really good friends and family where he's living too, of course. But yeah, so it's just kind of hard with our schedules. You know, I'd like to continue on, but we'll see. One thing I'm really thinking about with the next season is to try to bring on more guests. So while Dylan may be super busy with life stuff, I might continue on and try to just pull people in, and we'll have maybe a once every other week podcast with a new guest. I know there's a lot of people listening that follow some our big YouTube fans. If you are listening, you probably have watched some of even me and Dylan's videos. So I think that'd be fun to like make this podcast more of an interview type podcast where we can either discuss topics or interview people or make it more of like a group discussion. So those are some things I've been thinking about. And I think definitely Dylan probably will have more time maybe sometime next year or maybe late this year. We're talking here in 2021. So I think that that could happen too.
Yeah. Speaking of guests, I've been hounding the Code Newbie podcast to be on their podcast. I've talked to them twice this year and I'm quite upset. So somebody, if you know anyone at Code Newbie, get them to put me on there. I want to spread the word of software. I always like interview podcasts, and like I tried doing it on my YouTube channel a while back, and I did it for a while, but as anyone who has had to work with additional people and get them on podcasts, scheduling is a pain. Things come up, people flake, but I think the interviews are gonna be great. I always like it. It's just a hassle sometimes.
Yeah. What do you think if I continued the podcast, maybe take a month or two break, did interviews, and then had like reunion episodes where you'd come back maybe every few months to do like, you know, where's Dylan now? And then see how that goes. You think that would be something you'd be interested in?
I'll just do my seasonally like solo podcast where it's like whatever I want to rant about for 30 minutes, come up, throw it up there. Maybe we'll start the season with a rant and end it with a rant. Or like, well, before we this podcast season, this is what really pissed me off about software this year. And then at the end, be like, this is what I learned. This is fantastic. Amen. So one of the great things about side projects is and sort of, you know, what's different than working in corporate America is we have the ability to do whatever we want, right? Like we don't have shareholders, there's no physical product. This is like something, this is a passion project. So if our passion leads us one way, you know, sometimes we should pursue it. So I'm all for it. I think any form or fashion that we grow the Self-Taught podcast is okay with me.
Yeah, I guess we can be, honest with everybody there. Here that we've definitely grown the podcast from our first season last year, but we haven't grown it quite as fast as we wanted to. We definitely were thinking we were going to be in the tens of thousands of downloads per episode, and that we would have tons of different sponsors, and it's really been more of a very slow growing podcast. And so we've had problems like hitting those thousands and thousands of developers, but the people who do listen, and I really appreciate everybody who listen. We really appreciate you guys for listening and for tuning in every week. I mean, it's awesome having people, and we've definitely gotten some messages, and that's really cool, but we definitely haven't hit like where we want to be. And that's kind of really hard too, when you're doing a podcast and you're spending an hour or two, several hours a week, sometimes like editing, uploading, trying to find time, both our schedules work, and then not seeing like a super huge rise. It kind of reminds me a little bit of, doing YouTube, like the first year of doing YouTube. Like it's just that slow rise in tide. And there's definitely things we could have done to grow faster. I think we could have definitely changed the format up. We could have done more guest posts and blogging and try to get our podcast name out there. But, one thing too is that I've noticed a lot of these bigger podcasts, they have like huge, I don't know if you call it internet tech celebrities on there that already have huge followings on Twitter. I'm thinking like some, like let's think about like syntax.fm, which literally has Wes Boss and Scott Tilinski, and both of them have hundreds of thousands of, and I know for a fact that Wes Boss has over 100,000 Twitter followers. Scott Tilinski has tons of Twitter followers. Like bringing an audience to your podcast seems like the best way to grow your audience. Trying to like just grow your audience organically is a lot more difficult. And since me and Dylan, we do have some audiences, we don't have that huge audience that would push everybody into a podcast. So that's another thing we found out like after we started, that it's pretty difficult to grow it very fast. And it's not all about growing, obviously, or making money. But, I mean, it is one metric that you can use to help understand why you're doing something.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of growing, I mean, I think it's worth mentioning your channel's getting pretty close to that 100K mark. That silver play button's in sight. I mean, what are you at, 86 right now?
Yeah, yeah, it's so cool. Yeah, it's last year was like a really good year for the YouTube. But that's another thing. Is like now I am so busy with my new job and lots of other things. I've went down from doing two videos a week to one video a week, and for a while that was working really well. And then this last week, like the video I posted didn't do as well, and my total views have been down at least in the last 7 days, which is always, that's one thing with YouTube. You can drive yourself crazy if you just start staring at the numbers, but it's always awesome when it's going up and to the right, but it's not so fun when it's, you're like in a downward world spiral. But that's another thing I got to figure out too, with just, just a life update, is just try to figure out how to balance everything out, and finding time to do YouTube has become more and more difficult as time goes by. So that's an interesting topic. Let's kind of move to that. Like, maybe we should just give like a little bit of a life update too of what we're doing. I mean, go ahead, Dylan.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm planning my move to Seattle. I'm really excited about it. It's happening a little sooner than I thought it would, because I had a relationship end. That was kind of, one of the reasons I was staying. So time for a change of pace. I've been working on a lot of courses. Also, I just released a markdown course for Scrimba, and it looks like I'm going to be doing a unit testing course for LinkedIn Learning. Doing a couple events for Scrimba, little 1 hour talks. And I think we did an episode about mentoring. So giving and receiving mentors. I got 5 mentees right now on Mentor Cruise, and that's going very well. And a lot of success over there with them. And some people who aren't always taking the advice and learning lessons the hard way, but that happens. But yeah, man, life is good.
Have you decided what kind of side projects and things you want to do now that you're working at Amazon, or is that something you kind of still thinking of? I know you've kind of stopped, doing as many YouTube videos.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, for the most part, I haven't been doing YouTube, and I've, you know, that's been an interesting thing as well, because it's been such a big part of my life. And something I'm, I always point to as a project I'm most proud of, and that's true. But like, I tried for a minute to do some videos, and then, it's hard to right now. I think one of the things I learned on my sort of my mental health journey is I don't want to force things too much. And so I want to find things that work for me for what I want to do, and not just do things because I've been doing them. So, it's been a lot of fun sort of leaving that alone, doing live stream, but I've been focusing more on building courses, Scrimba and LinkedIn, as I sort of said a moment ago, and I'll probably decide sometime this year what I'm going to do for a Udemy course. I like to do one course a year. I'm not sure what it's going to be on yet, though.
Yeah, it's really hard. I think at some point you have to decide what's best and what's not best for your mental health. And I'm definitely feeling a little thin right now. So I know how that feels, trying to figure out how to juggle everything. For me, I'm actually moving to, but not to Seattle. I'm doing a quick change of houses from where I'm living now to a house that's literally like 4 blocks away, but it's we're buying it from my mother-in-law, and so that it's a little bit of a nicer house. We used to be renting it out, but now it'll be ours. So we're doing a ton of remodeling, moving things in and out, redoing the bathrooms, kitchen. We're hiring out a bunch of people, but we're also doing a lot of it ourselves. We did a lot of the demo ourselves. Like me, I'm pretty handy with the computer, but I can't swing a hammer very well, fortunately.
Pretty handy with the computer, man. You sound like my parents talking about the internets. Like, it's
I'm pretty good at the internets, but not so much on the swinging a hammer. So, luckily I married someone that was much better at that than me and loves home projects and those things. So I've been helping out where I can, but we're like literally laying down the whole floor, and I'm learning like how to lay floor. Actually, I'm more just picking up lumber and giving it to my wife, who then lays it down So I don't have that part done. I don't know. You know, I always thought when I became a homeowner years ago that I would become Mr. Handy and be able to fix everything and do everything. And then I realized I didn't really enjoy it that much, and I didn't learn how to do it.
Yeah. I think, there's something to be said about playing to our strengths. So like, it's probably a better use of my time to do something. If I was going to spend half a day putting flooring in, I'd probably do a worse job and have an overall gain that would be less. Like, it's kind of weird thinking about this, but like, there's things that you should pay for to get a better product that if you said, okay, instead I'll go spend 4 hours on a YouTube video, which will be better, like something like that. It's strange because I remember so clearly being like, I'll save a dollar for anything. Like back in the day, like, you know, I'll change my own oil, my brakes, whatever it is, I'll figure it out. Throw a video up on YouTube, and you know, it's like, my, how times have changed, man.
You got a little more green in your pocket, so I guess that helps.
Yeah. More green and messed up with plenty of projects that you end up spending more on also.
I have become good at like looking up the YouTube videos and finding out how to do things and then trying it myself and then messing up and then hiring someone to do it. Okay, maybe that doesn't happen that too often, but sometimes I'm like, I could do this, and then no, I can't do it. I know that feeling. So me just been dealing with that slight move to the different house. Like we said, started the new job. I don't think we can talk too much about it. I don't know about the rules that Amazon has given us about it, but you know, I think we can both say we're super excited and it's awesome so far.
Is this where I chime in and show my equal? Yay! There's not to be like, now it's going to come off like I'm being sarcastic. I'm not at all. There's just I think Eric was looking for me to chime in and like be like supportive. And no, I've loved the team that I work on and the environment. It's been a challenging but very rewarding experience. And even like something I volunteered to jump into this week, not something I'm super familiar with. I'm going to learn a ton. It's going to be very challenging. And but that's, you know, that's what I like about it.
Yeah, for sure. I always like that feeling at the beginning of starting a new job where it's like everything's new to you. And I think some people, it's like you get that nervous energy. And some people call it imposter syndrome at that point. They're like, oh my God, but I don't feel that way. I feel like that nervous energy, like, ooh, I get to learn this. This is interesting, but ooh, I don't know. Like, now I'm going to have it. That's how I kind of feel in the first few weeks. But I think like you settle in after a while and it becomes routine. And
yeah, I'm with you, man. You know, it's a little, you know what, I haven't liked it as much doing it remote than in person. And I think because it just feels a little bit more isolating, but I know all about that energy, about the like, ooh, new, different, a little bit challenging, going to grow, going to learn. And, you know, it's going to feel very rewarding. Like once I'm actually at a place where I know what's going on.
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking about that remote. Speaking of, I listened back to a couple episodes ago and I mentioned that part of the COVID world was I was missing my coworkers and that I was working from home. But now that I've taken on a remote job like this, it feels a lot more natural than I expected it, because we have Zoom, well, we have Chime calls, and we have Slack rooms, and we have a lot of ways to stay connected. And I'm starting to like really feel like, I mean, it would be nice to be in the same room with these people, but I'm certain after COVID we'll be in closer proximity, at least sometimes. But well, you know, I feel like that's okay for me. Like I used to be like pro going to work, but I feel like I'm totally fine working remote, and I'm good with it. I'm definitely enjoying the remote lifestyle.
Oh, dude, I'm about it. I just need to be in the office more, just for a couple days a week, like twice a week. And it'd be different if I had like a wife and kids. Well, I just got dogs over here. I love them and everything, but there are days I'm in here literally barking back at them. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, you know, we gotta switch it up a little bit. Yeah, I definitely enjoyed remote more when I was living with somebody, but I don't ever want to go back fully to the office. I think a good healthy medium is like 3 days in, 2 days out, something like that. That's probably the schedule I'm going to try and see if I can get, like, hey, what do you think about me coming in Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or like whatever it is. I think most companies are going to do that. I think most companies are going to be okay with that.
Yeah, I think I'm okay going fully 100% remote. I'm pretty good with that. But I'm definitely going to be visiting Dylan in Seattle, because there will be times I will be in Seattle. And we'll see how that goes. And hopefully Dylan will have a nice guest room for me to hang out in.
I think I'm renting this first year, so it ain't gonna be that nice.
I'm like, I guess they'll have a nice couch, maybe.
Yeah, I'm getting it. I was looking today. It's a 2-bedroom, 1-bath. It's gonna be about $2,000, about 1,000 square feet. And it's like, and they're not the nicest 1,000 square feet you ever seen, but it's gonna work. It's gonna have a backyard for my pups and an office. I'll have a nice futon for you. It'll, you know, the highest quality futon that money can buy. But yeah.
Are you going to make one room your office and the other obviously is your bedroom?
Most likely. I mean, it depends on the layout of the house, but that's the idea. I like being a homeowner, and I'm not 100% sold that I'm going to rent. But I want to hold on to this house. This house is going up, like a couple percent every month. Like it's going up about $5,000 to $6,000 a month in a house that I paid $240 for. So it's like, you know, going up fairly significantly. So I'm thinking I'm going to hold on to it as an investment. I don't know. And that means I don't have enough cash on hand to go buy a house at in a Seattle market rate. So like without selling the crypto, and that ain't happening because that's going the moon. Diamond hands over here, Eric. Diamond hands.
And did you GME YOLO as well?
Oh my god. For the record, this is our own advice, own personal opinion, not financial advisor. We talk about software. I got all caught up in that, and I margined my. This is, by the way, this is why I don't have cash on hand. This is how I have to protect myself against myself sometimes. I had about $50,000 in a Robinhood account, and I margined it. And then I was like, oh, whatever. Let's just YOLO on AMC and Naked Juice and GME. And then within like 10 minutes, I lost $600. I was like, what the hell am I doing? What is wrong? I'm getting caught up in this hype. I sold it all, cashed it out, and I just threw the money right at the house. Like, that was exactly what I did. I was like, I don't need that temptation in my life. But yeah, that was, it was, there are no diamond hands over here on that.
Yeah, I definitely, I got into the hype too late. Like, by the time I was in the front page of Reddit, like, the stock was already, like, cresting $300. I was like, oh, I'm too late. And then the people who bought in then got screwed because the stock dropped. Yeah. Like, I couldn't do this.
Yeah, I was, you know, I was watching this every day, like, since it was like $30. And I was thinking, like, because it's just happened to be some of the tech YouTube channels, like Weekly Weird News is the one I watch that's like super great. I highly recommend anyone who wants like a couple funny guys that are just talking about the world and like what's going on. Great YouTube series. And they were covering it. So like every day, and I started watching this, like, dude, these guys, and then I'm on Wall Street Bets, just a dying laughing. I'd go to it every day just to see the memes that they were posting. It was a great experience, but like it also taught me like that maybe I should have a financial advisor. Like maybe I don't need to be the guy that's gonna YOLO it on, you know, margin my account to John. It's like, all right. So there's a learning experience that I'm learning there. And now because of the repercussions of my actions, I have less liquid capital for my move. So like, you know, you gotta do things, but, which I think is how we got started on all this craziness.
I feel bad that I always miss these things. Like sometimes I get in early and then I leave too early. Like Bitcoin, I got in early when it was $20-$30, bought a few Bitcoins. Sold all of them except a little bit, didn't touch it again for years. Then I started, like, when it was at 5 or probably closer to 6,000 to 10,000, I started putting in money every month, and then I got out of it after a few months, and now it's at 60,000. I'm like, damn it, if I could just like commit to staying into it.
60 yeah. grand. And like, yeah, you know what? Doesn't it feel like it's going higher? Like, again, not financial advice or anything, but like, investment firms are buying like 3% Bitcoin, like of their like hundreds of millions of dollars. And it's like, what is going on?
I have a feeling, yeah. You know, not financial advice, complete guess. I think it's going to keep going up. I told someone like this 5 years ago. I'm like, it's just going to keep going up. Like, eventually, like, every Bitcoin that can ever be mined will be mined, like, in 2030 something. So, like, it's just going to be a valuable resource. You know what doesn't make sense to me? Now we're getting off topic, but we'll get back on topic here a second. Is these non-fungible assets, these NFTs. Dude,
oh, my goodness. Was it 68 million for one?
Yeah.
Dude, what are we doing with our lives?
Yeah, there's some way. There's like a cryptographically way that you can own pieces of digital technology, and they call it NFTs. And people can bid on it like an auction. So that's one thing I was thinking of, is like, maybe we could put our podcast up as an NFT, and people can buy it. If we do that, we'll put it in the show notes. If you want to be the sole owner of the last for a while, podcast, a self-taught or not, we will set this up in an NFT, and we will put it in the show notes, and you can bid on it and be the owner of it.
That's genius, man. And then like, watch, we come back season 4, we fucking smash it, and then we're like, shit, we sold all 3 seasons of our podcast, and now we gotta go renegotiate the rights.
That's interesting. Yeah, if we sell this episode, which you'll basically get this one-time digital version, maybe we'll put up our other episodes, but we'll try with this episode first.
If you want to be the owner of it. That's some boss level stuff. How about this? The retirement episode.
How about this, Dylan? There is an option when you sell. I've been looking at this website called OpenSea. I think that's what it's called, that you can sell NFTs on, and you can put in unlockables for people who buy it. So we can have an unlockable that whoever buys it, you get a 20-minute, 30-minute conversation with both of us. You want to do that?
Let's do it, man.
Okay. So if you're listening right now and you want to own this episode, we're just making this up as we go, by the
way. Yeah. I was going to say, this is very spontaneous, but I'm digging it right now. It's like...
You will get a half-hour conversation with me and Dylan together, and you get to own the episode. Link will be in the description and the show notes below.
Pass that shit down to your grandchildren.
I guess for more updates from me, I kind of already hinted at this. I've been still doing YouTube videos, but it's definitely been sidelined. Trying to still do one a week, I still like to teach people, and I still think I have a lot to learn and a lot to teach people. So I'm going to still do that. Let's end this episode with a couple of favorites. So think back. I'm going to put Dylan on the spot here. What has been your favorite episode, a self-taught or not, if you go back all the seasons?
Oh, I mean, there's two that come to mind. One's more current, which means it's probably like just fresh. And one that I always think we do a good job on is talking about sort of, we did an episode on like money and starting side projects and things like that. I really like that because I'm fairly open about money. I talk about my salary. I talk about what I spend my money on, this or that. And it's kind of taboo for some people, and I don't think it should be. And I think it causes more harm than good. So I like that we did that. I also like the recent solo episode I did. No disrespect to my co-host or anything, but it was more of a personal note, talking about like some of the challenges I've had this last year that I know a lot from my mentoring that I do to the YouTube channel, that like, you know, sometimes people they look at, you know, in a weird way, we're sort of an example of what can be, and like, you know, some people see us where they want to go. And so, you know, it's kind of weird to say, but some look up to us, and sometimes we idolize people that are, you know, just like everyone else, imperfect and going through their own challenges. And I think that was a good episode that a lot of people got value out of.
Yeah, those are both great. One of my favorite ones was we did marketing for developers. I thought that was kind of a fun episode. I actually re-listened to it the other day just to remember some of the points I made. I've gotten some good feedback from some people on that. I really liked the last week I did the last couple of solo episodes. I think we both did a pretty good job, and I'll talk about mine in a moment for another favorite. And yeah, I think the Agile episode, that's the one I'm trying to think of. I think that was season one. And by the way, we'll put links to this. I'll try to remember to put links to this in the show notes if you guys are interested. We did a episode about like the Agile process and how you have stand-ups and retrospectives and sprint planning. And we kind of gave a very honest assessment of two developers that have been in many organizations that have had this, and kind of our feelings and our likes and dislikes. And I think that really helped a lot too. And I really liked that episode. I think it really helped people that listen, that is. All right, next favorite, and we've only had a few. Can you remember any guests, our favorite guest?
Lara.
I
want to make sure it's Lara, right? It's not Laura.
Yeah.
I always. But yeah, she just seems like a really nice girl that has was easy to talk to, fun to talk to. We occasionally chat randomly. I went on her podcast. I see her on like Instagram and stuff like that, sharing like her that she's working. I saw one the other day where she has her keyboard, and then around it is a puzzle she's building. I'm like, that's dangerous. Like, you're gonna lose a piece. But yeah, I wish her the best, and I think that she's truly trying to do sort of the freelance thing, and that's admirable.
Yeah, that was a great interview with her. I think I'm just thinking back. I remember, trying to get that together, and she has her own podcast. She's trying to get her name out there. I think it was good having her on. We haven't had too many interviews, but all the interviews we've had have been pretty great. So that's another reason why I think if next season we might become more of a interview podcast, or at least I'll be interviewing more people, because I just like to talk to people and network with people, and there's no better way of networking with people. Well, there probably is a few better ways, but one good way is to interview them, because mm-hmm. you can get to know them and talk to them. And the last interview I did with was my solo episode was actually with a guy named CodeStacker, Jesse. He has a YouTube channel called CodeStacker, and that was awesome. We got to talk about his journey from literally doing IT work, and even at one point before he was doing IT, he was doing construction work, to where he is now, which he already hit over 100,000 subscribers on YouTube in like basically a year and a half, like a year, really quick. He did it really quick. And he's just a genuinely nice guy. And he actually does this feature on his YouTube channel where he features other YouTube channels. Thanks, Dylan. Thanks for paying attention, buddy.
I'm fidgeting over here. I had a little too much caffeine. I do apologize.
Where was I? I was just saying he actually, CodeStacker has his own way of highlighting other YouTube channels, which is not always, in the YouTube space, a lot of people are worried, like, oh, I can't mention a channel that has less views than me, because then I'll lose my audience or something. And he has no problem with like just sharing like great work from other developers, which is cool.
Yeah, when the tide rises, it rises for everybody. There's not this zero sum game, and you don't want to surround yourself with people like that. It's nice, and it's nice to see how many people are jumping into the coding space, which wasn't always a thing. I think sometimes they see dummies like me doing these things, and they're like, ah, this guy can do it, that guy can do it, I can do it, and that's great. Like, I want people to try things, and like, whether it's interviewing for a role, or doing a YouTube channel, or starting a course, whatever it is, I've had people message me that have said, hey, like, I'm delivering pizzas, and like, I'm going to go and learn software, or I'm going to start a coding channel. Cause like, if you can do it, I mean, you're at the same situation I'm in or was in. And I'm glad to see people succeeding and doing well, and, feeling more comfortable putting yourself out there. Cause none of this is easy of like, especially when you get started, of like, being ready for the public shaming, and like, it's nerve wracking.
Yeah. Let's, I guess I have one trivia piece to talk about. We actually did have one unaired, a couple of unaired episodes. I was trying to think. I think back in season one, we had an episode where both of us just thought, no, this isn't good enough. So we never aired it. And I was trying to pull it up, but I actually already deleted it. So I don't even remember what it was. Do you remember what it was, Dylan? Our secret unaired episode.
Secret unaired episode. You know, man, I barely remember yesterday at this point. So what could it be? I know there's an episode that maybe we tossed out because it's bad quality. But I don't think that was that.
I think it was like our first attempt at talking about like making money online, and it was too much like the other one we had already done, so yeah, we kind of threw it out. I do remember one. I do remember another unaired episode, which I don't even know if I think Dylan knows about because he couldn't make it. It was an interview with Swix. So there's a guy named Sean. He used to be a developer advocate at Amazon. I think he just recently left, but he wrote a book called, he's basically the working in public guy. he wrote a book about working in public, and a really nice guy, really, really smart. And I had interviewed him like maybe a month ago, and Dylan couldn't make it, but I had so many problems with the episode because my internet went out right in the middle of it. So right in the middle of the interview, it died. I used to record in my garage. And my garage's internet is not great. And then if my kids were on the internet at the same time, it got even worse. So he was cutting in and out. I couldn't understand what he said. I had to keep asking him to repeat. And so by the end of it, I had him send like his portion of the audio and my portion. I listened to it. It was just a mess. Like I couldn't do anything with it. I was thinking about, though, if next season I will try to ask him again to do another interview. And I think he's a pretty busy guy, but I think I can get on his schedule and get another interview because he has just so much knowledge about software development, about creating products. He's actually done some angel investing. He's actually leveled up his career. He went to a coding boot camp and then became a senior developer at Amazon within like a few years. So he could talk about how to level up really quickly in software development. So I'd like to, and he talks a lot about he knows a lot about developer advocacy too. So that might be a fun interview to get him back on.
Yeah. That's something I've always been interested in is the, being able to sort of just talk to developers about resources and promoting your product. And I think that's really cool. So it's one direction I would like my career to go in at some point in time.
Yeah, something I've been thinking about too. I definitely love where I'm at now, but maybe one day that's something I could think about. It feels like though we could have a whole episode on developer advocacy, and I wish we had Swix on. I wish I had that episode, but there is some downsides of developer advocacy, like the travel. It seems like most developer advocates do have to, and especially after COVID is over with quotation marks, you know, it'll probably never be over, but when, at least in the United States, when we have most people vaccinated and things get back to normal, I think all these conferences are going to, the ones that have survived, by the way, I think some are going to be gone forever, but I think they're going to be roaring back. And then I think speaking opportunities are going to be in demand. And you know, one thing I've noticed too, is just another side tangent, is if you go to a lot of conferences nowadays, like half the speakers, not half, but a good chunk of them are like developer advocates. So it's become even more competitive to speak at conferences because you have developer advocates, you have core team members of different frameworks that end up usually getting top spots at conferences. And I think it's going to be like that. Eventually, we're going to go to developer conferences and it's going to be like core contributor, core contributor, dev advocate, dev advocate, dev advocate, core contributor. And like they're going to never have zero like real people that use the software, just dev advocates and core contributors to different frameworks.
Yeah, it's hard to compete when someone's job is essentially to do the things you want to be side project about. But I don't know. I I think a lot of more things similar, so you're going to stay digital, and I think conferences are going to be one of those. Not to say that they're not going to come back, but I don't think next year. I don't think conferences are going to be a thing for like another 5 years. I just don't think the demand's going to be there.
You really think so? I think they're already like ramping up at the end of this year and beginning of next year. Like, I think a lot of conferences are already announcing like 2022 or late 2021 in-person conference with social distancing and masks, but we'll see. I went to ViewConf in March, right as the pandemic started, and there was a whole lot less people there, I think maybe because of the pandemic, but also, and people were like, the only guidance they gave us, like everybody, no one was wearing masks. The only guidance they gave us at that time was just to do fist bumps instead of giving handshakes. I mean, obviously at that time they didn't know like that everybody should wear masks. And then they sent an email out like 2 weeks later saying, oh, someone in the audience had COVID, and they gave everybody a warning. Like, luckily I was fine. I never got sick or anything, but we'll see. We'll see what happens to conferences. I know you kind of had the bug of talking at conferences last year before COVID.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to speak at some, eventually. I don't know. Like I like talking at conferences, but I've had some come my way, and they just, I stay a little interested, and then it's hard to be motivated by something that I'm just giving to and getting very little in return at times. And so like the physical conferences were much cooler. It was a whole experience. I got to just do my little part, you know, and I got to network a little bit more, but like the digital conference talks don't really interest me nearly as much. So maybe once they're more physical and I can kind of go and get the full experience, that I'll do that more.
Yeah, me too. All right. Well, I think we should wrap it, which may be our final, at least this form of self-taught or not. For all our listeners, you made it all the way to the end. Thank you so much for listening these last three seasons. It's been an absolute pleasure for everyone that's emailed or joined the mailing list or tweeted about the episode. Like, thank you so much. Or if you just, you know, have, you know, it's a Sunday afternoon, you're working out, you're listening to us. Thank you for being a part of it. We will be back, I think maybe in some sort of form in a couple months. Like I said, maybe I'll be doing more interviews, but yeah, thanks for joining us on this journey. I hope you guys learned a little bit about us. And as always, you'll hear from our outro that you can still reach us. We're on Twitter, YouTube, Mentor Cruise. So
yeah, man.
Any last parting words, Dylan?
As always, I hope everyone learns something. If I'm channeling my inner Lewis Rossman. But no, it's been fun. And again, I think we'll circle back to this. But till next time, don't forget to comment, like, subscribe, share, links to the courses, all that shit. No, that'd be the YouTube outro. But we'll see them in the next episode. Well, who knows?
Ciao.
Hey guys, thanks for watching. If you want to find more about what I'm up to, go to dylanisrael.com.
And if you want to know what I'm up to, you can check out my website at eric.video. If you haven't already, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. It really helps us out. And if you do, you might even be featured on our next episode. Don't forget to check out the website at selftaughtornot.com. From there, you can sign up for a mailing list where we give away free courses and a bunch of cool stuff. And we'll also let you know when the next episode comes out. And finally, if you didn't know, we have a Facebook group. It's called Code, Tech, and Caffeine. We have over 10,000 members, and you can find the link at selftaughtornot.com. So come join us. We have tons of developers willing to help you guys, mentor you guys. Check it out. Just make sure you go to selftaughtornot.com and check out the Code, Tech, and Caffeine link. Thanks, and take care.